Let's begin with the Gemara's question here. The question of what Abaye, we met Abaye yesterday, and Abaye said that if the girl dies, that there's no kanas. Why? Because it says, V'nasan la'vi hanara, v'lo la'vi hamesa. Okay. This pasuk, by the way, also, as it comes clear at the end of the sugya, explains why is it that if the girl is raped and then she becomes a bogeres, why is it that the knas goes to her and not to her father? Because it says v'nasan la'vi hanara, not la'vi habogeres. Right? What you can say, as the Gemara will say later, is you can say, and that's what happens if she became an arusa after the rape, and the father hasn't collected the money yet. So there you don't say v'nasan la'vi hanara asher lo arusa, because it doesn't say it. It just says v'nasan la'vi hanara. She is an ara. But the fact that it could have said v'nasan la'viha, and it says v'nasan la'vi hanara, implies that she still has to be an ara for the father to collect. And in that case, we say, if she's bagra, she collects instead of the father. She keeps the money instead of the father. So Abaye says, "Nasan lavi anara," also velo lavi mesa. Okay. So now the Gemara goes on from here. Yitzi, I impose upon you to read. Thank you so much. Lamed chesam and beis.
I don't know about rides. Is it us? I don't know about rides.
Let me know if you're not coming up.
He's actually bringing up to exclude Rava. The Bai Rava, Yesh Baga Bekever, or in Baga Bekever. Yesh Baga Bekever, U Divina Have. Or Dilma, in Baga Bekever, U Divina Have.
Okay. So, couple of comments here. I don't know that it plays any role in the sugya, but I do like to make this observation anyway. Boy Rava, Yesh Beger Bekever, or in Beger Bekever. What's the nafkamina? Well, the Gemara says, Yesh beger bekever udibra hava, udibra ein beger bekever divya hava. Now, Rava never said that last part. In all probability. Rava just said, Yesh beger bekever or ein beger bekever. The Gemara is filling in what it thinks. Now, ultimately, by the way, the Gemara is going to look at. You look at the end of the Ibaye, about I don't know 15 plus lines down on Lamed Tesam and Aleph. Elahachi kami boyle yesh beger bekever upaka av oduma im beger bekever velo paka av. Now, how could that possibly be the shaila if Rava said yesh beger bekever udibinahave oduma im beger bekever deviahave? What do you mean? Rava said what the shaila was. The answer is Rava did not say what the shaila was. Rava just said the shaila. He didn't say what the Nakudas HaShela was. Rava didn't explain what were the Tzadei HaShela. So the stum of the Gemara initially filled in, maybe as an excuse to talk about the Gimel Lashem Hashem Sefnoch, I'm not sure, a mistaken assumption that the question is, who would it go to, the father's heirs or the daughter's heirs? And ultimately the Gemara is going to say the daughter has no heirs except for the father. Right, remember that. In other words, see, many cases when you deal with a woman who was married and is a shaila when she died and so on and who her estate goes to, the question is, does it go to her husband's heirs or husband, or does it go to her father's heirs or her father? But here, she's not married. So the only heir she has normally is her father, unless she had a child by some chance, which the Gemara is going to say should be impossible. But the point is that if Yesh Beger Bekever goes to her son, Ein Beger Bekever goes to her father. So for right now, sketch out what is the Gemara's, with this mistaken Havamina, because at least the Gemara thought this was biologically impossible. It happens to, the reality is it's not biologically impossible. The science here is incorrect, but unless you want to argue definitionally that a girl who has children is Simana Maideshim. But you can have, unfortunately, we know that you can have Kitanim who give birth. If you assume that the definition of a gedola, of a nara, has to be at least 12 years in day, we have children younger than 12 years in day who give birth.
How could she have been a
betula? What's that?
How could she have been a betula?
No.
And the kid, the
rape. After. Well, you don't have to do that. In other words, she has a kid after the rape. The problem is that she could have been raped when she was a katana, if we're working on Libet HaChamim. Or if you want to say Libet Rav Meir, it's a little more stretch, she's raped the day she turns into an Ara. But either way, she can't. The assumption right now is that the Gemara's Kasha is going to be that there's no way she could have gotten pregnant and given birth by the time before she reached the age of Bagrus. Right? So therefore, that's a question, how does she have a bane? But yes, it has to be a case where she had the bane, you know, unless, well, I guess, would artificial insemination work? Why not? Why not? Sure. A woman can have artificial insemination, she's still a basula. We can't have such a thing as virgin birth. It's not impossible.
Wouldn't that completely avoid the odds of having to break the hymen to do so, or is that not?
No, the hymen is not, unless it's an imperfect hymen, you could deposit without doing damaging the hymen. You could most.
What's that?
No, she doesn't have to give him birth yet. He could have raped her after she was pregnant, before she gave birth. Yes, virgin birth is a weird thing.
Right. It happened a couple times in Jewish history too.
Is that what they taught you in Yeshiva College? Okay.
Well, the Gemara says it, not me.
Nisabra Bambatya.
Yeah.
Nisabra Bambatya, Yirmiyahu's daughter, Ben Sira. Okay, there you go. Fine. Gemara's in Chagiga, if anybody's interested. So that's the question. Yesh beger bekever, ein beger bekever. So let's just flesh out what this means for the moment. What happens? Describe the case. Somebody.
She was raped.
Alex.
She's raped as a Nara, and then she dies for her mother within. And then the question is, does her father have the right to sue? When the father brings the din, the based in, so she's at the age where had she been alive, she would have been a book.
Okay.
So then the question is, because she now, had she been alive, he couldn't claim the money.
She could claim the money.
So do we say that since she's not? Do we apply essentially Bagrus?
So what were the result? Firstly, what is implied by this Gemara very clearly, which is supposing a girl was raped as a Nara and she dies, and right now, and the day after she dies, she would have been 12 years, I don't know, 3 months and 2 days. So what happens then if the father comes to Beis Din? Well, she's dead. But she's at an age. Even if you count her dead days as part of her age, still 12 years, 3 months, and 2 days. The father collects, even though she's dead. That's a given in this part of the Gemara right now. The Shaila is, what if enough time passed after she died that if she were alive, by now she would have been a Bogeris? So now do we say that if somebody collects, the assumption is somebody collects, the question would be, who collects? Do we say that since she died at 12 years, 3 months and 1 day, that time is frozen, and that she is forever a Nara, and that the father may forever collect the Knas? Or do we say that no, that she ages Bekever also, and if it reaches the stage where she would have been, the point at which she would have been a Bogeris had she been alive, the money would have gone to her, and therefore it goes to her heirs. So this question, of course, only gets off the ground, and that's the Gemara's problem, is if she has heirs. The problem is, how is she going to have an heir other than the father? Right? It's either the father or her heirs. So it means her heirs have to not be a father. There's only one way for a person to have an heir who's not their person's father, man or woman, and that is having descendants.
And couldn't you get a case then with, if you're assuming in vitro?
What?
If you're assuming in vitro, couldn't you say that if she had her eggs harvested prior, would that mean that her child, as a result of that, can birth two by...
Who five? What? Say that again.
If we're playing around with in vitro anyways...
Playing so around...
With in vitro fertilization anyways.
We're not.
We're not.
Besides, we go after gestational mother anyway, so who cares about her eggs?
Okay.
Yitzi?
Can we be reading it as beggar, as in just death is a status of bagrut, and therefore in yesh beggar recover, he can't claim it, in beggar recover, he can't claim it?
You mean no one would get it if... Well, that's the Gemara's maskana in the first lashon. No, I don't think so. Well, from the Gemara's kasha, the Gemara's reading it, again... Rava never changed what he said. He just asked the Shaila. The Gemara initially thinks, it says Beferish, Yesh Bega Bekever, the Beno Hava, or Dema Ebe Kever, the Voy Hava. That's not what Rava said, but it's the way the Gemara initially understands the Shaila. So based on that, the Gemara says, well, that's impossible, because a Nara, before she reaches the age of Bagrus, this Nara who died, who was this Bagra Bekever, could not possibly have had a child. Right? Because of technical consideration, just Mitzvah's consideration. So the Gemara is going to turn around and modify the question and say, no, Rabbi Shaila does it go to the father, does it go to her heirs? Rabbi Shaila was something else, which I think is what you suggested, which is, does it go to the father or does it not go to the father, and therefore nobody gets it, right? The guy who did it keeps it. Right, but the assumption in both versions of the question is that she hasn't reached the age of Bagrus when she dies, and she dies, and even counting the days since her death, she wouldn't have reached the age of Bagrus. The Shalaviyahi. Yeah, sure.
Is there any possibility that there would be, I mean, the Gemara doesn't seem to come up with one, but there might be an alchemy between whether the father gets the money midin being a father or midin from inheriting from a dead daughter. Any ones like Maisida or whatever that you get everything
that was done, I guess. Yes. It must be in Tosfos. Because I don't remember seeing anything else. Yes, what would, that's an excellent question. And what could there be in Afkamina? Yeah. Very good. Is it the big Tosos?
Yeah, Tosos.
Yeah, I have a lot of work to do in Tosos. So if we get to Tosos today, if we finish the Gemara, I'm finished. But what?
Isn't there something like that in the fourth parak?
That may be where it comes. Maybe that's where I saw it. It's not. It's in the Gemara in the fourth parak. I don't know if it's in Tosos. One of the two. Maybe I don't remember. Maybe one of the Tosos in there. I don't. We will get to it. So what is the nafkamina? Bale chovos. If the money goes directly to the father, meaning if it's his qua father of the girl as opposed to Yorish of the girl, then her Balei Chov can't collect from it because it never entered her possession. But if it goes to the daughter and then the father is Yorish, then her Balei Chovos can collect from that. They get a Shibud on it because when it passes through her Rishus, they have the option. Okay?
So then, the question would be, that would be the Nafkamina. We should discuss that in the Gemara.
Correct.
Instead of inventing cases where somehow she has a
child. But I don't think the Gemara... Oh, you want to say, one second, you want to say...
It goes on trying to figure out how to...
It never gives...
It doesn't give that as an option, but another option.
The Gemara never presents that as the tutsdat. No, here's the point. The initial stage, you're right, once the Gemara rejects that she can have a bane, all right, so the Gemara, the initial nafkamina of the Gemara of Yesh Beger Bekever is on an assumption that the guy has got to pay no matter what. Right, and in that case, according to the first question, first version of the Gemara, another nafkamina would be if she had no heirs. Another nafkamina would be whether her Balei Chovos could collect or not.
The way that we don't like that is because we can't find a way to invent an heir, right?
No, I understand, but within that lashon of the Gemara, the Gemara said. Now, the Gemara could have turned around. You're suggesting and saying what you're saying.
After we establish that there's...
There can't be any heir. They could have said the stone afkamina. Instead, the Gemara... Do you want to read the second version of the Gemara? You're wondering, why didn't the Gemara say that?
Why doesn't the Gemara find this as the awesome afkamina, and it ignores this as the possibility? I mean, if that's the question, I guess I'll see it eventually. But.
Excellent. The truth is, in the Gemara's second version, you could that read it as an afkamina. You know, you could read that is the Gemara holding that way. And as the Gemara says, Yesh Bega Bekever Paka'av, and it doesn't tell you what happens. Rashi says, and the guy, the onis, doesn't have to pay. But you could say, no, it could just be, it still goes to the father, but there's an afkamina to Balei Chovos. And it's because Paka'av, his direct rights to the Knas have dissolved, and all that's left is him as a Yoresh, and therefore... Balei Chovos could have a prior claim on it. Whereas, if you say, Ein Beger Bekever, so then the money goes directly to him and the Balei Chov have no claim. Like, there's no, and Lo Pakah, right? The Gemara doesn't really spell out what the Nafkamina is, looking in the second version. So you could be correct. I wouldn't be shocked if we dig through the Bishonim and we find someone who reads that way. Okay? So we'll.
The next thing, I mean, we'll get to it now. I don't understand at all the necessity of the
purpose of the milk price is to prove that she can't have a child. So in other words, the way you're presenting the nafkamina of Yesh Beger Bekever, Ein Beger Bekever, the way you're presenting it is not possible.
Why is the milk necessary part to tell you why she can't have a child?
No, because that price approves that a katana cannot survive having a, and have a child.
We already know that we're talking about a basula, a nara, right? All the cases of ones and mafatza are with a nara. So we're only starting...
No, at first they could be a katana, libe de chachamim. Or again, if it's a nara, that's fine too. But the point is that there's not enough time for the nara to give birth before she...
That would be the issue. You don't need to hear the milk. The whole point is, you only knas stories are only about naros basulos, which means it starts at 12, and then you have 6 months. Alright, I didn't even bring up Moshe.
So that would suggest that it's working on Liba
the Chachamim. It must be a Liba Chachamim that they bring it up.
Niskashi, yeah.
Okay, so that's
yeah, okay. So that's fine. So now the Gemara says.
Wait.
1 second.
No, Gemara. Can't you also have an heir through, like she marries after being raped, and then that's his heir kind of a thing?
That's clever. I was thinking about that actually yesterday. If she got married. If she got married, the husband would be a Yoresh.
Yeah.
That's what I suggested yesterday.
So, you said that in Shir.
But then there's not even a possibility that the father's in her and she's outside of.
Then she's married,
there's
no
trust
anyways.
No, once she's married, she's
outside of his wishes. Correct. If she's Nisais, then any Knas goes to her. If she was only Nisarsa, there's no Yerusha. Yerusha Sabal, whether it's Taraisa or Drabanan, is only after Nisu, not after Irisu.
Right, which is as the Gemara continues and brings up such a case.
Not exactly, sort of, but for a different purpose.
Yeah. Right, so
for a different purpose. Yes. All right. So, yeah, Masha.
So why does the Kitana thing have to be according to the Chachamim? Why can't it be, it starts at Kitana and then she gets.
No, Shua pointed out there's no Knas by Kitana for Rabbi Meir. It means she'd have to have been raped when she was a Nara. So, and the whole point is, if she's raped when she's a Nara, and subsequent to that, and obviously her pregnancy, assuming it doesn't come from the rape, has to happen after the rape. Because if she had been, her pregnancy came from before the rape, she would have been a Basula at the time of the rape, right? We're not going with the Metzgruz of virgin birth here. So, to that being the case, Shua is saying, who needs the Moch Brisa? The bottom line is, if she has to become pregnant when she's a Nara and give birth when she's a Nara, that's impossible time-wise, not because of Sakana, not because of Moch or anything like that. That's his question. So you have to say, Aliba the Chachamim. Okay, so now, are there any further? Okay, you want?
Oh, I also just wanted to ask: is the implication of the Hava Amina that the Hava Amina thinks that Kitana has no heirs, possibly? In other words, she has a child, but there is no husband involved, and she's not Nisei, so she's not independent. She's in the father's home, presumably still. Is the assumption that possibly the child would not actually get the Yerusha from her, and that her father would take it?
Well, it's not that he'd be getting the Yerusha. If Ein Beger Bekever, the money goes directly to him from the rapist.
So it's only this particular Knas and things tied to the Knas, possibly.
Correct.
She has an heir, and that's us.
Correct. Of course he's Yerusha. There's no shayla about that. It's just that the whole question is that Knas might go directly to the father. That's the issue. And in fact, it does go direct. It does. No matter what we said yesterday, whether or not the way when you have a din Torah over Onis and Mefata, whether it's the father being Tovea, the Ma'anes, or the Mefata, or whether or not the father is forcing her to be Tovea, Tovas, the Onis and the Mefata, the din, but he collects the money, no matter how you want to skin that cat, the money is going directly to the father. So the shaila is that if Yesh Beger became a Mekever, is to whom does the money go to, the father or the daughter? If it goes to the daughter, it definitely goes to her heirs. If it goes to the father, it definitely goes to his heirs. Okay. So now the Gemara says, on the top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. Okay. So the Mishnah says, the Braisa says, that there are three women who are Mishamshos B'moch. There's a big machlokas harishonim about this, and two details. And the entire discussion revolves around two questions about Mishamshos B'moch. One, does it mean Mutaros L'Shamosh B'moch? Or does it mean Chayavos L'Shamosh B'moch? Does it mean they are permitted or they are obligated to do so? Second question is, what is this moch? Is this a moch that is present during Tashmish? Or is this a moch, in other words, where potentially when the husband ejaculates during the context of intercourse, there is a physical barrier there? Maybe it's not even clear, does he have full penetration? Or is this a moch that is used li'achar Tashmish? Afterwards, it's hard to try to clean out any of this shechva zera, from inside her, with the hopes of preventing her from becoming pregnant. Alex.
Well,
I'm maybe getting at, but the idea is that if it's after the fact, then what he did wasn't an act of hashchasa.
Correct. And the whole question would be, is that hashchasa apostrophes, although the Rishon may debate this, but hashchasa zera is only on the Baal. Hashchasa zera is not on the Isha. And therefore, if once he has done what he has done, and he walks away, anything she does cannot by definition, I would say for sure, but might not by definition constitute hashchasa zera.
Presumably, though, if you say that she's hired to use it, then she's got to be hired to use it. She's got to use it in its most effective form. Namely.
No, not necessarily. Well, that's a debatable point. I want to keep them separate for the moment. I'm not sure anybody automatically has to join one or the other. Now, regarding the other issue, why is it important whether it's mutaros or chayavos? Because you want to know what is the shita of the chachamim. In other words, if Rabbi Meir says that they're mutaros, then what do the chachamim hold?
Asuras.
Then Hashemayim yirachem, they're not allowed to use the moch. If Rabbi Meir holds chayavos, the chachamim obviously hold pturos. They don't have to use the moch. We're not afraid of the sakana because shomer psayim Hashem. The implication, of course, of the second reading is if a woman wants to use a moch, that's not a halachic problem. Whatever this moch is, before or after, whichever it is, it's not a halachic problem. It's just normally, women, firstly, once upon a time, people, women probably wanted to get pregnant much of the time. So, therefore, if you say chayavos, then the chacham hol peturos, but if they want to, they can, there's just no need to. There's no obligation. This is not in the gather of sakana that you have to obligate to use a moch. Whereas if Rabbi Meir says mutaros, then the chacham would say no, there's no real sakana here, and therefore you're not allowed to do it, which would presumably imply that all women are asuras. Now, we are going to talk about this sugya at some length after we've done everything else, which may take a while. I just want to make one ha'or about this. There's an extensive machlokas arishonim in this regard. Different opinions, Rashi, Tosfos. But I will make one comment that I think, and I'm going to say it again, but it's often overlooked. Where does the Rambam quote this din? And where does the Shulchan Aruch quote this din?
Not anywhere.
All you have in the Shulchan Aruch, I believe, in Eben Ezer, is the Rambam says that if a woman has an otem in the rechem, she has a blockage. And the rechem doesn't mean the uterus, it means the vaginal canal. And the end result is that the husband is zor mibifnim b'dashmi b'chutz, which means he ends up having to ejaculate outside of her because he can't physically penetrate sufficiently. So the Rambam says it's a problem. That's a problem. Now, that is the closest thing anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch. No one quotes the Gemara Nashim Sham Shas B'moch. What conclusion would you reach from that, by the way?
That it's about Chaya versus Pater.
Correct. That it's Chaya versus Pater, and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like the Chachamim, and that's why they don't say anything, because the assumption is that normally it's Mutar L'Shamish B'moch. The Shaila in the Gemara was, are these women obligated to use the Moch? The answer is no, because the Chachamim say Petur, so you rely upon Shomer P'sayim Hashem. The silence of the Rambam, and the Rambam, more than Shulchan Aruch, but the silence of the Rambam here, I believe, is definite. I've never seen anybody point it out that to me, you don't have to Paskin this like the Rambam, but to me, that's a Machra, how the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin. The fact that they omit the Din means that they held Machayavos and Peturos, Paskin like the Chachamim, and Stam is not necessarily an Isser. Yeah. Now, that doesn't tell you, by the way, which moch we're talking about. And as you could argue, although one would, I'm also inclined to argue there, that it means either kind of moch, because they don't quote any, that's not as Behechreach. You could say that it's only the moch after Tashmish, but the moch before Tashmish, of course they wouldn't permit. You could say that. Right? That you don't know. But whatever moch the Gemara is talking about, it seems to be a Dover Pasher to borrow that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch hold that whichever moch this is mutter. Alex.
But that's not the general practice of post-game to be silent on machlokes, meaning they say, this is mutter.
No, because the Gemara never even discusses mutter asr.
Well,
the Gemara gave a health Rameir gave a health recommendation. The Chacham said it's not necessary. The Rambam doesn't have to quote that.
Okay, I mean, it seems like
there are other examples of that.
Big enough thing that you would expect to be quoting.
There are other examples of where that type of thing comes up.
Of what?
Rambam's silence.
There are probably, there's tens if not hundreds of them, which indicate his omission of a din means he simply doesn't think it's relevant. So I would have expected here, if he read there is an old alternative, by the way. The old alternative is Rabbi Meir says mutaros, the Chachamim say asuros. Well, no, that wouldn't work, then he wouldn't have to quote it. Rabbi Meir says, right, if Rabbi Meir had said mutaros and the Rambam had passed like Rabbi Meir, he wouldn't be silent. He wouldn't be silent. Yes.
When we presented it, it seems like we made it the third possibility, namely that Rabbi Meir says it's chayav, and the Rabbanan say it's
Asr. No, you mean
Asr. Asr.
So again, firstly, you'd expect them to have quoted it. In reading the Bryce, I think it's highly unlikely. It's unusual to have one saying Chayavos and the other one Chayav, and the other one saying Asr. The Gemara likes to say in Shabbos that we prefer not to have two Tanaim arguing where one says Mutar and one says Chayav. They'd rather be the Mutar Asr or Asr and Chayav, but not Mutar and Chayav. So having the full spectrum here from a mayor saying, you know, Chayavos and the Chacham saying Asuros seems a little bit odd. Not impossible, but odd. That's not the. No, I don't know if any of the Rishonim read it that way. They read it one way or the other, but not both. Yudi?
But this might be for like when we do this more in depth. But why do like a lot of poskim nowadays say like you could do it for like the first year or something like that?
No, so that's not a. I wasn't necessarily even going to broach that particular topic, but let me just make the following comment. In discussing this issue, there are two separate halachic issues that should not be mixed together. One is the mitzvah puravu and when you do or don't have to fulfill it. The second is assuming that puravu is not an issue because you fulfilled it already, because you're not capable of fulfilling it, you're not fertile, whatever else. I mean, if you weren't fertile, then probably no reason to be using a moch. But whatever the reason is, what form of birth control would be permissible? Meaning, what is considered normal tashmish and what is considered ma'aseh erva onan or something like that? Those two issues are completely separable. You could have if you are mechuyev to reproduce, abstinence is usur as well. Right? It's equally usur to abstain as it is from mitzpektiv puravu as to use a form of birth control. Whereas, if the issue is the form being used, that's a totally separate issue. That's independent whether or not mechuyev and puravu right now. Or at all. Okay. So the Gemara says that Shalosh Nashim Sham Sos B'Moch Eluhain Katana Muberis and Meinika. This, by the way, where else do you know Katana Muberis and Meinika from? You may not, but some of you might know. If you don't, you'll know it next year. Dayan Shatan. By Nida. It's very important. Lagabe Vestos. It happens to be, I won't tell you what they say, this is a very, very important Ramban and Ran in a sugi in the beginning of Nida that's material to this, even though they're not talking about this Gemara. But having to do with the fact that there's a category, Muberes, Minika, Zikena, and Kitana there, in the first mission in Nida, in the first sugi in Nida. So anyway, we'll come to that eventually, but bottom line is, Kitana, Muberes, and Minika, a girl before the age of 12 years and a day, Muberes is a woman who's pregnant, and Minika is a woman who is nursing. So why are they not allowed to? Why are they mishamshes b'moch? Go ahead. We are afraid that she will become pregnant and then she will die. Now, the implication of this is that a katana becomes pregnant, she dies. Her body is not old enough, big enough, developed enough to carry the child, but even though she gets pregnant, the pregnancy will kill her. Alex.
How could there possibly be an opinion that says it's awesome?
No, I think the other way.
So the Chachamim don't believe it's such a pikuach nefesh. They say Shomer Psoyim Hashem.
That's the answer.
Yes.
And
therefore
she can give birth.
What?
And therefore she can give birth or not?
Nah, she won't become pregnant. People probably that's what it means. Chachamim don't typically become pregnant.
The other option, which we're not raising, is that they say yes, pikuach nefesh. Put yourself in that situation, but you said you had to do it. I mean, could they say that?
The problem with saying that is that we have numerous instances across the Mishnayos and across Shas of people marrying katanos. So you're going to say all those are really asuros. I think the answer is that it's not a sakana brura at all. Not a sakana brura at all. This pasuk, by the way, the pasuk of Shomer Psayim Hashem was a Ramosha used to argue in his tshuva that smoking was mutter. Unfortunately, it wasn't Shomer Psayim Hashem then, and it's not Shomer Psayim Hashem now. Right? In other words, just that's not the reality. People died. People continue to die prematurely due to the effects of inhalation of tobacco smoke. So anyway, but that's the idea. Sometimes we say that something is mutter because Shomer Psayim Hashem. Where did I see this at? It's a passage in the... it's in the Aruch HaShulchan. I think Simon Beis in Aruch Haim. I think what the case is where he says... It's kvar dashu by rabim and shomer psayim Hashem. In other words, there are many din in the Gemara says mishum sakana, and we are mekelon. And one of the reasons is because dashu by rabim and shomer psayim Hashem. People do it, and God watches over the fools. Apparently, He's not killing too many of us, at least in that particular manner. So we don't think it's such a big deal. Okay, So anyway, katana shema tisaber v'tomus, okay? Which implies if a katana shema tisaber, if she gets pregnant, not that she will get pregnant, if she gets pregnant, she's going to die. Okay, which means, by the way, in our case, even if you say shua, like that we're dealing with the chachamim, that she becomes pregnant when she's a katana, so she's going to die then. And that's why the Gemara is forced to say, obviously it means she becomes pregnant when she's a nara, but then you don't have enough time to give birth. Okay, go ahead. I'm uberish, maybe her other, if she becomes pregnant again, her uber will become crushed by the, one uber will be crushed by the other. It's not impossible, by the way, for a woman who's pregnant to become pregnant.
Again.
Again. I mean, it's probably exceedingly rare. Normally, once pregnancy has taken hold, the hormonal cycles, the hormones prevent, ovulation until she's given birth. But I don't think it's completely unheard of. I mean, it's probably pretty rare. And probably,
I saw an article 3-4 years ago about like how it was like a 1 in a zillion.
It also probably, if it happens, it probably wouldn't be noticed. What you could easily wind up with is fraternal twins, but the odds are if the ovulation takes place during pregnancy, it's going to be early on in pregnancy, not later on in the pregnancy. Would be my bet. And if that's the case, it's possible that they're only a few days apart. And she becomes pregnant, and then she ovulates, her ovaries release another egg, and so the fetuses are technically a few days apart. That would be my guess.
You probably wouldn't know.
That's my point. In other words, it would only be noticeable if the fetuses are of any significant age gap. You see?
I think actually my wife does know a person that's happened to, and they can trace it to a certain extent.
They can.
There's also a house episode about it. But that's
what's that?
There's also a house episode about it.
Well, what did you ask someone where they know that it didn't occur? Again, fertilization didn't occur at the same time, but the second ovulation, was it enough after the first one where she was pregnant technically already?
Yeah, I think also doctors are a little iffy about when actually to declare a pregnancy has started, as opposed to
okay. Gestation. How far apart the age was?
Not very far.
Right. Okay. So that's what I'm saying. In most cases, people just wouldn't know.
Yeah.
People wouldn't know. Alan.
When it comes to this Sandal case, it seems like first of all, pikuach nefesh, it's not nefesh yet, but also it's not like worry about it dying. It's just worry about it being.
It means it's not going to survive.
Yeah, that is what it means?
Yeah, I think so.
My first question says that.
What's that? Right, so what's the big deal?
It's not a nefesh.
Okay, so who says we're talking about pikuach nefesh here?
We just don't want the baby to be there.
Well, yeah, we don't want to form children.
No, chas v'shalom, but... Okay, I mean, how else do you get over the it's pretty much all those
you it's not black on white in the Gemara. Many years ago, I wrote a paper on this for Melech Shechter Zichron al-Racha, which I later published in the Beis Yitzchak. And I would say that there are a few Rishonim who seem to think it's a Daraisa, but I think that contrary perhaps to the unfortunate disproportionate and obsessive discussion of this issue in some yeshiva high schools. I'm not sure how many of you went to any of these yeshiva high schools. Contrary to the impression one might gather, I think that probably Rav Rishonim hold it's only Nisid Rabban. Now, the truth is, if it were Nisid Daraisa, it's actually more likely to be Nisid Daraisa in this context, in a case where you're trying to prevent pregnancy. There's the closest. If it were a Doraisa, again, it would be like Masa Erva Onan, right? It wouldn't be in a situation where, if there's no woman involved, then it wouldn't be. And again, I'm not saying no Rishonim hold that way. There's a Tosas Rid who wants to argue that if it is, I think it's Tosas Rid, if it's Doraisa, it would dafka like Masa Erva Onan. In other words, they're trying to avoid pregnancy. And it's not even clear any pregnancy, or they didn't want to have children at all, right? In other words, so I'm not going to say there are no Rishonim who say that way, but I think that it's possible that a majority of Rishonim certainly almost do not.
My question basically is, within those Rishonim.
So the question is whether this is Hotzah Zera Levatana. That's a big assumption. One of the things that people discuss is for example, is our, so it might be, so in other words, the question is, what is the nature of the Moch? someone argue in distinguishing modern contraception from the Mocha of the Gemara in the opposite direction, that the Mocha and the Gemara is one that interfered with normal Tashmish. Right? Some would like to say that if the Tashmish is normal, means the intercourse is normal and the husband wouldn't know the difference, but when he leaves, you know, in fact, when he's done, the semen just cannot make it into the uterus because it's a barrier, but the Tashmish itself is normal and then it just can't make its way up, so that is not called Hotzah Zara Levatala. It's only if the form of the intercourse is abnormal.
I have a hard time understanding why that would make a difference. Meaning,
it's not for... Let me put it this way. It is a davar pashut, baru pashut, that a woman who is using, let's say, hormonal contraception, that's not Hashchas HaZera. Yet, the husband does his thing, and yet the sperm, the semen, can go where it goes, never gets the woman pregnant.
I understand that it's a davar pashut, but I guess I just...
You understand?
I understand that that is a davar pashut, meaning...
Right. Why is that a davar pashut? Because again, Hashchasa, if you think about the way it's often described, is it's Tashmish Shelo Kederech Haaretz, which actually is very interesting, because if you really take it to its logical conclusions, one might end up being extremely makel b'zman hazeh, because, in other words, for example, if I'm not mistaken, Reb Chaim Ozer in his Tshuvos wants to argue that if a woman whose life is in danger, she becomes pregnant, the use of a condom is permissible. The use of a condom is permissible. And the argument is that it's tashmish kederech kol haaretz. That's normal tashmish in a situation where there's a sakana for a woman. Remember, that's before the invention of, you know, hormonal contraception. Right? You're talking about sometime in the first half of the 20th century. And I will tell you, in fact, I'll tell the story because it highlights the problem of ignorance. I will veil the details as much as possible. There was a particular community in which the Rav discovered that a lot of the women in his shul had become under the impression, having learned from the woman who I think was actually taught the Kala classes there, married to a nice Koilo fellow, had learned that of Chas V'Shalom you should ever use contraception, but if you're going to use it, you should use a condom. Now you hear that line and your hair stands on and says, what in God's name are you talking about? Now, what happened here? What happened here is that this woman, when she had been in Eretz Yisrael at one point, she or her husband had contracted hepatitis. And they went for a psak, and they were told that you should use a condom. Why? Because when you're dealing with transmittable diseases, the only way to stop it is through a complete physical barrier. Right? Now, therefore, but she had learned in seminary that chas v'shalom, you should never use birth control. So her conclusion, she put the two together, you should never ever use birth control, but if you're going to use birth control, use a condom. Now, when you hear that as halachist, your hair stands on end, your eyes bulge out, and you want to kill the person, wring their neck. Right? You are causing people to do masa erva onan, right? Because remember, in the context also, probably most of the women in this community are using contraception. So their choice is, we'll use a condom. Gewaltig. Gewalt. Gewalt. How can you say such a thing? So the answer is because ignorance, right? Because you don't understand the halacha, right? So first...
Although she could rely, you know...
No, he only set up a makom. He argued that b'makom sakana, that's called tashmish derech kol haaretz. So when you have hepatitis, that's a kind of sakana. When the woman getting pregnant causes her to die, that's a sakana. Where I was coming to observe is that if he is correct on that, arguably, you know, forms of birth control that are used on a mass scale are tashmish derech kol haaretz. I'm not suggesting that halacha l'maisa. I don't want to suggest that halacha l'maisa. I'm not even around as halacha. I'm just pointing out al pi svara. It loses its, you know, but this comes back to my point. You're asking, why is it not permissible? Why, you know, why would it be permissible if she's, even if she can't become pregnant? Or why would even a barrier theoretically be permissible? So let me say the following. The assumption we work with is that when the act of intercourse itself is physically completely normal, then there's no shayla about Hashchas HaZera. No question whatsoever. So if what causes her not to become pregnant is because her ovaries don't release an egg, because the hormones are tricking her body into thinking she's pregnant, let's say, so it doesn't matter. You had normal tashmish, there's nothing to talk about. Now, when you get to something like the diaphragm, right, which is used as a barrier, the sponge, which is the same thing, where the husband doesn't know the difference. He can't tell the difference. But eventually he leaves his deposit, and then it's blocked by a physical barrier. So there it's sort of in between, because there is something physically awry here, but it's not the otem and the rechem that the Ramah talks about. The otem and the rechem that the Ramah talks about in Simin Chaf, I don't know, Gimel, whether it's Simin HaNatzar, Zer Levatala. The Ramah is talking about a case where he can't have normal tashmish because of the blockage. He ends up being dosh, zor mifnim, dosh, I'm sorry, I got backwards before. Dosh mifnim vizore, probably should be vizore mi bachutz, right? In other words, what? It is zora. I'm trying to think why. What?
That's like
scatter, I guess. I guess. I know, but it could have been zorea also, if you think about it.
No, it's really
zorea.
Especially the, in the act.
No, okay, no, you're right. Dosh and zora. Okay, fine.
In the act of like, when you're making wheat.
I said dosh and then you do zora. So sorry for that distracting. Anyway, so the point is that the Ramah is talking about a case where dosh mifnim vizorea mi bachutz. However, in the case of a physical barrier such as the diaphragm, there is no, it's not zorah mibachutz. It's zorah mifnim. So therefore, you could talk about, is this normal or not normal, right? It's not clear. Now, what if there is an impediment, but still he's zorah mibifnim, but he doesn't have, let's say, gemar bia, full penetration, so there, that's the next step up. And then Rav Chaim Ozer's case is a case where really, you know, it never gets off the ground. So much so, I will not tell the story in public that I once heard that led to this fascinating insight that had never occurred to me. But I think that there might be poskim who would claim that if a person uses a condom during bia, it's not bia, if there's no physical contact between the evare hazara, if we could term it that.
So, what nakaminos does that have?
I've heard that
if a woman had an affair,
yeah,
and
like, yeah, that's what I was asking if that's the.
It was in the context. I won't tell the story. It's not appropriate in public. And I wasn't there firsthand. I heard it cliche-y about a mini conference that took place when someone brought a shaila to some rabbanim. And I don't want to say what happened, but one of the questions that was asked, and it was an Eishes Ish shaila, was there a condom use for this particular reason? I don't know how. Why I find it to be a difficult shita, by the way. I find that to be a pella that you would claim that just because that was used, that therefore it's not called an act of biyam. It's a stunning claim. And if it was a basula who used that, when he used the condom, she'd just be a mukasetz, is what you'd be saying. Right? If that's true about an Eishes Ish and not being bia, then it's not bia either, it's just a mukasetz. Right. Chaim?
I've heard Rubulik use that many times. Meaning he's mentioned a whole series of stories.
Who's this?
Rubulik. Has mentioned that Zvara as part of his issues with the modern approach of his Hechos woman. He's said that multiple times. I've heard him say.
Say what?
On a 4-6 occasion, he said the same story involving a woman having an affair. Explain why you should have a good drinking with your coworkers.
Okay, so I think it's the same story that I heard cliche-y, yeah. And I won't say who else was in the conference, but I, and what the reaction was,
he's
whatever.
Many times on tape and in public, so like it's.
Okay. So anyway, so I've heard. I find that hard to believe.
Every year, Ben Marsh.
Okay. I find that hard to believe. I find that hard to believe that that you would say that just because a condom was used, therefore it's not considered to be. I mean, it's not crazy, but it sounds a little crazy. Then, but you think Reb Chaim Ozer is claiming it's tashmish keder kol aretz, right? So when it's sakana, at least he said it's sakana. So to say that, you know, you're saying it's not even bia.
If it had happened, why you wouldn't necessarily be Oser the.
I agreed, but to even entertain that possibility, that's a tzad lismochalav. I don't think he's the only one. In other words, there were other Rashi Yeshiva in the story. So.
I hadn't heard about the other Rashi Yeshiva.
Was there a meeting for this?
Well, they would discuss, because when you get a significant shaila about asking Isha Labaila, so in the story I was told the condom, no, the woman said she didn't use the condom.
She said not. She's supposed to like, did you ask him if he, but.
Oh, okay. Stein, just stop now? Fine. Stop now. End of story. Okay.
Wait, you meet all these people for that one question, I'm saying?
Nagar, asking Isha Labaila is a major issue with a major impact. So they were having, the story was told, they have a conference to discuss how they should pass him.
Okay.
That's all. It's a good idea. It's called, Dibu Chaverim, right? You need to, you don't want to be mo, you want people to share the burden with you, right? Is there a question, Ezra? Yeah.
Yeah. How can we hold that this is chayav by this case? Going back to the actual case.
Well, you would say that because it's sakana, you're mechayav to use a moch.
What's sakana?
Well, in the case of the girl, she might get pregnant and die. In the case of the ubar, so an ubar is going to be deformed by this. and probably not born alive. And again, no one's saying that the violation, in other words, it might, if there's no Isser, if you assume Chayavos L'shamishmo, you're assuming there's no Isser in the first place. The Chacham are saying, since there's no Isser in the first place, here you have to do it because you're damaging a child. Right? That's reasonable. The Gemara does not only prohibit things because of Sakana, even because of things that are bad for your health, it prohibits, even if you might not die from it. Right? So in other words, it doesn't mean someone's going to die. And the Amenika, finally.
No. Sorry.
Okay, so, and a woman who's nursing, we're afraid that she'll become pregnant, because if she's not nursing intensively enough, nursing itself intensively often can serve as a form of birth control, because it prevents lactation, may prevent ovulation, but at a certain point it stops working so effectively, because the woman typically is nursing less intensely, and so she could become pregnant, and then she would be forced to wean her child early, and not having really food that he can eat, he's not old enough, the child, might die. Shemetiglas b'na.
Why don't you give him like regular milk? I'm just curious.
What?
Why don't you give him like regular milk? I'm saying at those times. I'm just curious. Or was it because of pasteurization issues or whatever?
Yeah, I don't... Wait, I mean, the truth is we use milk, but cow's milk was meant for calves. So I don't know why they didn't think to use cow's milk. Maybe it was killing them because of lack of pasteurization. I have no idea. I should take that back. They do talk about Chalav and Gavina, actually, but a little bit older, yeah. But it's not... What?
Also, it's expensive, meaning, if you assume not a rich...
But, for example, let me give you another example of what Chaim is saying. The Gemara assumes that a woman who is nursing is not allowed to marry. You know, for it's also in Ksubos in the fifth parak. And this is why, by this is one of those famous low plug zeras, right? Low plug. Even if she has a nursemaid and she can afford to pay for it, what's the concern? Should we marry, get pregnant, and be forced? And the first husband doesn't care about the earlier child. He's not going to provide the funds in order to support, to feed that child who normally would not, who would continue to survive permanently off mother's milk until a couple of years of age. So it is. It could be an expensive proposition, and she might not have access to the funds. I don't know how expensive. The bottom line is, if you were own child, you might find a way, but it's not optimal.
You need to have your own cow that, or go ahead and milk it. You can't. There's not really doable there.
Right. Okay.
Exactly. In the context of these days, we're not oh, well, you're not doing.
And yet, you should know, by the way, if you ask a Shaila, a woman who is nursing, who gave birth within the last 24 months, is not allowed to remarry until 24 months have passed. That's the din. Okay, so the pachos mikan. I'm sorry, ezui katana. All right, from 11 in a day to 12 in a day. So Meir says above and below that age, for the katana she can have tashmish normally. Can or must? That's the question. Okay? No, I don't know. At this point, I don't know, because the Rishonim, wrestle over this, and I'm not sure I could voice an objective opinion. All right, so they say no matter what her age, even when she's a katana between the age of 11 and a day and 12 and a day, she's mishameshes kedarka, and min hashamayim yirachamu, because it says shomer psayim Hashem. So again, this is a shomer psayim Hashem, God watches over the fools. Unfortunately, he doesn't watch over all the fools. Hence, we have the Darwin Awards. However, this is a principle we use in halacha frequently when we encounter things that the Chachamim said you shouldn't do because it's dangerous, and we do them, and we say Shomer P'sayim Hashem, right? Because it's not really dangerous for us. So that's the point. So what's the upshot of this braisa for our sugya's purposes? So the braisa has a lot of meaning in its own right, right? The whole issue of Meshameshes B'moch. But in the meantime, the Gemara says the chit. So what do you see from this braisa? You see that there's no way a Nara could have given birth and have a bane and die as a Nara. Why? Because presumably our assumption is we already have an idea that to have enough time for her to have given birth, she would have had to become pregnant when she's a Katana. And a Katana, according to Rabbi Meir, is a Mishameshes B'moch Shema Tesaber V'tamus. And the assumption is, it means she's vada going to die if she becomes pregnant. The Chachamim believe it's not Shema Tesaber, but Shema Tamus. What?
You have to hold like Rabbi Meir to assume that she's using a milk. But Rabbi Meir is the one who holds that it doesn't matter if she gets raped as a katana. The Chachamim don't believe that a katana, like...
They don't believe the katana is going
to
become pregnant.
The necessity to bring up milk was only relevant according to
Aliba the Chacham.
Chachamim.
Right.
And it's as long as they paskin like Rabbi Meir about the milk that it's significant. No,
because the Chacham or Rabbi Meir might believe that a Katana just won't become pregnant. In other words, it could be Rabbi Meir believes the Katana will become pregnant and die. The Chacham said, Chacham might agree, if she becomes pregnant, she'll die, but it's so remote a chance that she's going to become pregnant, so we don't have to worry about it. Okay?
Does the Chacham believe that she automatically uses the milk always?
No. But the Chachamim of the Brice of Moch probably believe that it is that it's true, if she becomes pregnant she'll die, but she's not likely to become pregnant, so don't worry about it.
Okay, so does she use the Moch?
What's that?
Is it possible that she can be pregnant as Katana?
For the Chachamim?
Yeah.
No. Not and survive. Not and survive. They just think it's so remote, such a remote chance that she could get pregnant, so.
So either way...
It still can be the Chachamim.
Even according to the Chachamim here... In this milk case, we still have the question about that there's no possible error.
Correct.
Okay.
I think so. I understand what you're saying. That you can cross Tanaim as long as it's not Haba Hatalia. That's what you were really getting.
Yeah.
Right? You have to hold like the Chachamim by age for Knas, but like Rabbi Meir, but I don't think you have to. Could be the Chachamim agree that if Tana becomes pregnant, she'll die, but it's so unlikely she'll become pregnant that you don't have to be Choshesh for that. And they might very well say it's Mot if you want, but it's no need to worry about it. Tiani?
But according to the Chachamim, the baby also dies. Meaning she
Mistama, yes,
she
correct.
Die in childbirth, otherwise
correct. The baby might be born and be alive for a moment or survive. Correct. Correct. She's not going to survive. He's not going to survive. The baby won't survive.
The baby also can't survive.
Correct, for this assumption. Yeah. Look, normally, if the mother doesn't survive, the child doesn't survive either.
Right.
Okay. So now the Gemara says, so, v'chitema de'i'abra... So the way around that is to say, okay, she is raped either when she's a Katana, she's raped the day she becomes a Nara, the next day she goes and sleeps with the guy and becomes pregnant, and then she gives birth to a child, and then she dies, and then she becomes a Bilgeris in the Keber. That's what you would say. So the Gemara says it doesn't work. Why not? Yeah, how do you give birth in 6 months? I think it's fair to say the Gemara has this funny idea.
Yeah.
That you can have children who are born. I mean, it's true that it's not so. How old does a fetus have to be viable according to Chazal?
Well, 7 or 9.
7 months, and it can be oledes lemekutan, which means it doesn't have to be 7 whole months. But I presume 6 months on the dot is not acceptable. So let's say 6.5 months. So the point is, a woman cannot become pregnant, give birth to a ben kayama within 6 months. There was one case where it happened, in the Medrash. Yitzchak. Ah, that's true too. That's true too. That's why she could hide him for 3 months. Well, maybe that was 2.5 months. Maybe it was just mixed as chod shekula. But for Yitzchak, it has to be, I think, between... When was Yitzchak born? On Pesach? So I thought they said that Sarah was nifkada on Rosh Hashanah. So no, so it's Yoledes Lemekutan. But she would have been 6.5 months. Unless it were leap year, it would have been 7.5 months. Right. But maybe before Matan Torah, they followed the solar year. I don't know. I have no idea. Okay. So Gemara Rosh Hashanah, actually, I think, talks about that question. But she's Afilu Manda Amar. There is a machlokas in the Gemara. It's a very important mocker you should be aware of for other reasons. Not for the specific content of the mocker, but because it's part of a larger discussion. The Gemara is a machlokas. A woman who gives birth to a 9-month baby. Remember, there are two tracks of babies. 9-month babies, 7-month babies. A woman who gives birth to a 9-month baby is a machlokas whether she can be yoledes in the kutan or not. If the child is born in the middle of the 9th month, is that child a bar kayama or not? So the Gemara also says elsewhere, Afil Laman da Amar Yoledes Letisha, Eina Yoledes Lemekutayin, Yoledes Leshiva, Kami Yoledes Lemekutayin. Meaning there's a sheet that says it's always a full 9 months for the child to be viable, but if it's a 7 month child, it can be 6.5 months, and that works as well. So Raman Shulchan Aruch says that Nishtanu Atfayim. Today, even though it seems that the Mechaber Paskins Yoledes Letisha, Eina Yoledes Lemekutayin, Rama says, Bezman Azeh, Nishtanu Atfayim. And women give birth in the 9th month. And the Rama is certainly correct. I don't know what was the reality at the time in the Talmud. I suspect the reality hasn't changed. But the Rama says the Mitzias is different today. Women give birth in their 9th month, and the Vlad is a Vlad Shel Kayama. That's what the Rama says. That's one of the famous passages that quoted for this idea of Nishtanu Atfayim, that the scientific reality can be different for us than it was in the time of the Chacham. What the Rama describes there, of course, may not be correct that it really changed. He was right about what his science was. But it's possible that changes. In other words, that a woman giving birth early could be subject to, could be a function of environmental influences. Right? There are other kinds of scientific differences. I'm not going to talk about it now, of which the Gemara says one thing, we have another, and there's no way human anatomy has changed like that in 2,000 years.
May I see that the Malachim came on Rosh Hashanah?
I don't remember, but it says. But Rosh Hashanah Nifka Dasara.
That's one that there's another medrash that the Yisrael born on Pesach.
He's born on Pesach. Not that Sarah become.
That the Malachim came on Pesach also.
That doesn't mean so no, but that doesn't mean he was born on Pesach. That just means they got the news on Pesach.
No, but there was also that he was both born on Pesach and that.
What, he was a 12-month baby?
No, that's somehow Jewish stories always have that. That they always say that you give a bracha, and then 12 years later was the bris.
The pasuk
doesn't match up.
Lamo'ed
Ashrei Lecha Yisrael. They got a different bracha that must have actually worked.
Lamo'ed Ashrei Lecha Yisrael.
Again, that's fine. It means they came on Pesach. We know because he made the matzahs, and then she gave birth the next Pesach, but she became pregnant on Rosh Hashanah. Why is that a problem? That's what nifkida means. But Vashem Pakara Saraka Shamar is, I think, is Hirayim.
They would have come 3 months later, but they were coming with Saddam.
Okay. My Medrash genius is here. Thank you. Alex.
Just technical. What did you mean when you said there's 7 month babies and 9 month babies?
The Romans believed, and Chazal took the science from them. It may have been common contemporary belief, that children were born, were incubated on 2 tracks. Either you were a 9 month baby or a 7 month baby. And an 8 month baby was considered a nafil because it was assumed he was a 9 month baby who was preemie. A 7 month baby could be okay. Now, we don't believe this is true anymore.
What would have been the empirical basis?
I don't know. But this was not a rabbinic belief per se. Well, it's not always easy to know when a woman has conceived. Not always as simple. And for us, we have a much better idea for many reasons.
Maybe they just miscounted. Isn't that possible?
Again, it was a common belief in the ancient world. How it originated, I don't know, but it's assumed in Chazal, and that in the Rome, their contemporary Romans assume it also. Okay, again, we assume as a rule in medicine that the longer the fetus stays inside the womb, the greater the chance of survival and the greater the chance of being perfectly normal. Yes, but the Chazal seem to think that there was two things. If you look, Lieberman in Hellenism, Jewish Palestine, and Greek and Jewish Palestine has a passage where he talks about this because the Greeks had an expression about 7 versus 9 and not 8 or something. I don't remember what it was, but if you look there, you'll see he talks about this just a little bit. I mean, he's not dealing with the scientific phenomenon. He's dealing with the usage of Greek. Some pun in the Ushalmi, some play on words. That doesn't have to be a bow, one of them, a rum, he's using or something like that.
And presumably there's a cat, meaning, let's say you were born early, so in the first 3 months, I know you're looking at the industry, but it's not like that's going to stay with you the rest of your life.
What's that?
Meaning, we don't say that the later you were born, that has effects throughout the rest of your life, do we?
Yes.
Oh, we do, yeah.
Sometimes, children who are born prematurely, very often, depending how premature, have permanent effects. Right. Yeah. I'm not sure, but ask the people who study medicine. I'm saying this from anecdote only, but it makes sense. You might check things like asthma rates. Children are born when their lungs are not. I mean, one of the biggest issues when children are born early is their lungs are not fully developed. When women are going into labor early, earlier than doctors want, they often give them this drug that makes the child's lungs develop faster. as it's the biggest issue, they're being able to breathe when they come out. Yeah. So anyway.
What was the other Nishtana Tavan?
No, that's the one that's in Shacharat that I know, Nishtana Tavan. Okay, so there are other examples. People want to claim it, but some of them are plausible, some of them are not. Right? I'll give you one example, which is the Gemara assumes anatomically in the male that there are two tubes that go through the shaft of the member, mm-hmm. one which carries semen, one which carries urine. There are no two shafts. It's one. You mean in Africa versus Asia?
No.
No. And they join at some point. No. Anyway, it's clear, unless you assume extreme evolution in the last 1,800 years from the Talmudic era to today, that the male anatomy has evolved, that's what you have to argue, Nishtana Atfaim, and that, frankly, is simply absurd. Perhaps I lack emunas chachamim for that. But if that's the lack, then I think we're okay in this context. Okay. Anyway, so now the Gemara says it can't be that she got pregnant when she was a Kana because she would have died. Can't be she became pregnant when she was a Nara because she couldn't have given birth before Bagrus. So, right. There's only 6 months. So the truth is, if you're going to read Shmuel's statement, it would have been, there might be less than 6 months, but not that we do it that way, but it's not going to be more than 6 months either. The Rambam assumes that when you have normally a woman who's not an Ilonis, when she becomes a Nara, when she becomes a Nara, from then automatically it's 6 months till Bagrus. Yes, it's it.
I feel like I think I've seen at least twice in different Gemaras where the Gemara is like Ella, sort of Ella. Like, why?
This Gemara is in Kiddushin as well, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, it wasn't this one,
the main sugya is it comes up a father is neman. Is that the sugya? The father's nemanis over his daughter with kiddushin. Yeah, it's an ayin test in Sar Shashah says. Okay, so anyway, so the Gemara says Ella, go ahead.
Ella, how's he coming by? Ella, yesh beggar bekever upakaav, odilma in beggar bekever below upakaav.
All right, so what does it mean upakaav? Rashi writes. Who's Hala?
The Ones.
The
Ones.
She'en Bal Dino Kayam. His Bal Din is not Kayam. Who's that?
I guess the woman.
The girl? So that's interesting when Rashi says, Kokama de Logavse. That's a questionable point, meaning...
Could he mean before she died?
No, obviously, but I would have said, and we'll explore this when we get to Tosos in the Gemara at the beginning of the fourth paragraph, I would have said, Atshalo Omda Badin. There's the first Mishnah distinguishes between Omda Badin, before Bagrus, before Nisuin. Rabbi Shimon claims that if the father has not collected the money, and she becomes, even though on the Bedin, she hasn't become a Bogeris, and she becomes a Bogeris, or he dies, Rabbi Shimon claims that she keeps it. So as he goes much, he says, on the Bedin is not enough. So here Rashi seems to be siding with, on the surface, appears to be Rabbi Shimon Shita. It's the first Mishnah in the fourth parak. In the Malaf on the base. Okay. O Ein Beger Bekever. Okay. Fine. So that's the Gemara's question. So what Shua suggested before could in fact be correct here. Shua suggested before, maybe he didn't say this in the Gemara, but he wanted, and I'm suggesting it could be read in the Gemara, that Yesh Beger Bekever Upaka'av means that the father no longer has the schuyus to the money, instead the daughter does, and even though she has no heirs except for the father, and it now goes to the father, it goes through her to the father, and therefore her Balei Chov have a tefiyah on it. Whereas, if you say, Ein beggar bekever, and lo paka'av, the money of the rapist gives has to go directly to her, to him, to the father, and therefore, the Balei Chov of the Nara have no claim on that money. It never passed through her estate.
So,
yeah.
So in a way that, I guess, the machloket really is a knasa as a Yerusha or not. In that, I mean, it's a double machloket, I guess, in that sense.
When you say machlokes,
no, it's the question is totally on two questions.
Yeah.
Meaning either there is Beger or not, and either it counts as Yerusha or not. So if it's if there is Beger, so it can really still go to the father, assuming no Bale Chov.
Correct. And that would be Bitaras Yerusha.
But if there was no Yerusha, then either way it would go to the father. So
or Rashi would say, no, you never collect. It depends. Rashi understands that Yesh Beger Bekever means the guy doesn't have to pay. Girl's dead. Father's not Yerush Knas Bekever. The other tzad of Ein Beger Bekever for Rashi means that it's not because he's Yerush Knas. Ein Beger Bekever means he's still entitled to it directly. But what Shua has raised the possibility is maybe no. Maybe they would agree that the father can be Yerush the Knas. The only shaila is he Yerush the Knas or does he receive the Knas?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So now the Gemara continues. Mar Baravashi.
Baravashi by La Hafi. Mita osa bagrut, oi mita osa, oi osa bagrut. Take
it. All right. Does Misa constitute Bulgaris? What would that mean then? Misa osa bagrus.
Off from the father.
And therefore what?
The father wouldn't be able to collect.
And what would happen with the Knas?
So
Rashi would certainly say he wouldn't pay the Yemes. And what if you hold Ein Osa Bagrus?
If there is Torah the Yerusha by Knas, then he could still inherit it. If there's not, then the Ones would keep it.
No. If you say ein misa osa bagrus, it means that the father, since she's still an ara and forever an ara, the father gets to collect, like he normally does. So clearly, one of the things that's at stake in the various possibilities here, firstly between Shua's possibility and the way Rashi explained the Gemara, is whether or not there's even a hava mean that the father is yoresh knas. Okay, now that's going to take us eventually into Tosas, but we have to first explain how does this fit in the Gemara. The Gemara said that which was clear to Abaye was Mesapkele L'Rava. Abaye was sure that if the girl dies, there is no Knas. If there was, let's say, he doesn't say, but it's dependent upon Amda Bedin or Gavsa. Let's assume it's dependent upon Amda Bedin. Ba'alau Mesa, Abaye says there's no Knas. Nasan Lavi Anara. Rava, by asking whether Yesh Beger Bekever, the Gemara says it's Mesupuk about that issue. Now, what I think should be emphasized is, as I pointed out earlier, when the Gemara is a shayl about Yesh Beger Bekever, in the first lashon of the Gemara, everybody agrees what? That if the girl did not reach the age of Bagrus in the Kever yet, that the Knas goes to the father. Which means that it's not for Nasan Lavi and Ara, v'lo lavi mesa. In other words, the first suffix of Rava is not a suffix in Abaye's din. Because the first suffix of Rava that's presented by the Gemara, Vadai rejects Abaye's din. Now what about in the Gemara's modification of that? The Shaila was Yesh Beger Bekever Paka'av, Odilma Ein Beger Bekever v'lo Paka'av. Once again, if that's the only Shaila of Rava according to in the first Lashon of the Gemara, the assumption was that when Anara dies, the father can still be Tovea the Knas. And if she becomes a Bulgaris in the grave, the Shaila is, does the money go to her and her heirs, or does it go to her father? When the Gemara fixes that because she can't have any heirs, the Shaila is, in a situation where she died as Anara, if he's Tovea the Knas before she becomes a Bulgaris in the Kever, of course he's entitled to the Knas. Everybody agrees to that. The Shaila is, and that is against Abaye's din. The Shaila is, if she becomes a Bogeris in the grave, do we say Paka Rosh Hasa'av or Lo Paka Rosh Hasa'av? If we say Lo Paka Rosh Hasa'av, he still collects it. In which case, again, it's against Abaye. If he says Paka Rosh Hasa'av, so that could be not necessarily because he's Mesupak like Abaye, but rather because she's a Bogeris. In fact, it's not because he's Mesupak Abaye, but because she's a Bogeris. If he's a Bulgaris, he doesn't get the Knas. Nobody gets a Knas because she's not, as Rashi says, there's no Baldin to Tovehim. Father's not a Baldin. So there's no one to be tovea him. Therefore, he gets away without paying. So still, nobody thinks in the first two versions, if you want to call it, of Rabbi Safek, the Lishna Kama, nobody thinks that Nasan Laviana Ravala Limesa. Everybody agrees that if she hasn't become a Bulgarian, you'd pay the Kanas and you pay it to the father. She's dead. So, but when you get to the last one, Mar Barashi, whether Misa Osa Bagris or not, so if you say Misa Osa Bagris, what does that mean by definition? Very possibly.
Fundamentally taken out of.
Yeah, she dies, she's like a Bulgarian, now father gets nothing. And and the assumption would be, it's not explicit, is that she doesn't have any other heirs. And she's not getting it to Yarshin to the father. Or do you say no? Do you say that Misa's not Osa Bagris, and therefore, and presumably the daughter's death age is frozen at death, according to the last version of the question. Her age is frozen, and the father has the ability to collect. So then it turns out, what is the suffix between the two possibilities in the last Lashon of Rava? Whether Abaye's din is correct or not. According to the Shtetzad, that Misa Osa Bagris, Misa Osa Bagris, then there's no it's Avina Arav Lo Avimesa like Abaye. If you say Misa Eino Sabagris, you're assuming after Misa the father can collect the Knas, even though the girl is dead, even though it's Navi Amesa, so he doesn't Darsha like Abaye.
Why is it taken?
If I knew the answer to that question, I'd have been in Amora. Maybe I'd been in Tana. Okay. I don't know. The Gemara didn't know the answer to the question. They were really in doubt. Alex.
What does it mean that we have a note to the English by Abaye's
name? We probably paskin like Abaye.
No, I understand, but it obviously can't be a mount. If the Gemara says Teku.
Teku for Rava didn't have an answer.
Only Rava didn't have an
answer. Yeah. And I'm willing to bet my
Rava didn't have an answer, but the editors of the
We would say the following: if Rav was Mesupak, but Abaye was Vadai, then we're going to assume like Abaye.
So the Teku isn't there is a machlokes between them, and we the Gemara don't know which way to pass.
Correct.
It can't be that. It can't.
Teku is on the Ibaye. Okay. The Gemara says Motzes a Pshita Labaye Mibaye LeRava, and Rav never came up with an answer. But my guess is that we paskin like Abaye because even though Rava was Mesupak, we normally paskin like Rava against Abaye. Here, Rava is Mesupak. Abaye knows. So, you know, Safek Vadai in Safek Motzimide Vadai. Okay. Boy Mine. Yitzi, continue.
Boy Mine, Rava Mebai. Baala Venit Ursa Mahu.
All right, so what was the Gemara's question, firstly? Ba leho vinisarsa. So, why would I... What's the question? Do you have to pay kanas or not? Why would I thought you don't have to pay kanas? Because it's no law shelo rasa. So, the Gemara's answer is, miksi vinasan lavi hanara shelo nisarsa. What do you mean? The requirement of avihana ara doesn't say, in other words, when you talk about the bia, it says kim sa ishna ara visula ashalo rasa sasar shachavima. So there it has to be ashalo rasa, but here it just says nasan lavihana ara. It says nasan lavihana ara. It doesn't say ashalo arusas. So maybe it should be, even though if the rape had happened now, he would be potter because she's in Arusa. Since it happened earlier, he's chayiv. Alex?
Why is it spelled with the samech?
I'm sorry?
Why is it spelled with the samech?
Because that's what happens in Rabbinic Hebrew all the time.
Okay.
Sota.
No, I understand.
Sakin.
I understand that they're interchangeable, but I was wondering if they're...
No, it's not that they're interchangeable. The overwhelming directional move, in fact, the only way direction which it moves probably, is from sin in Biblical Hebrew to Samach in Rabbinic Hebrew. The word sota, normally, in the Rambam Ksaviyat of the Mishnayos, he spells it with a sin, but most places manuscripts spell it with a Samach. Ishki siste ishto is a sin. Sakin, only occurs once in Tanakh, I think, but is spelled with a sin initially. Samach in Rabbinic Hebrew.
My only question was that it's not... Because earlier, when there was the machlokas over Orasa versus Arusa, I'm trying to argue with the present tense. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about right now.
No. No. Although Arusa there was also spelled with the Samach. But the point is, it says in Hasan Lavi Hanara, it doesn't say it's Hasan Lavi Hanara Shalom Arusa.
No, I understand that, but I'm making sure that there's
nothing to do with that. No. No. So the Gemara says, wait, that's ridiculous. That's not a proof. Uli Tameich. So if that's the case, then Balav and Venises. Are you going to argue? Are you going to argue I'm sorry, so we have a braisa that says that Balav and Venises, that the Knas goes to Har. Right, it doesn't say Lavi and Arasha lo nisua. So maybe also after nisuin, the Knas should still go to the father. So now the Gemara says that's ridiculous. That's not a comparison. Why? All right. So what is this? What is this raya? They say that you can't compare Arasin to Nisuin, because Nisuin is Motzi Mishra Sa'av. Now, and how do you know that Nisuin is Motzi Mishra Sa'av? Well, how do you know for these purposes it is? So the Gemara says it's analogous to Bagrus. They both have the effect of taking a girl as far as Rishos, and therefore should have the same din as Bagrus. And what's the din by Bagrus? Ba'alav u'bagra li'atzma, af nisuin ba'alav v'niseis li'atzma. How do you know that ba'alav u'bagra k'nasa li'atzma? Correct, lavi anara v'lo lavi bogeris. If it wanted to say, if what happened afterwards was irrelevant, it would have said v'nasan li'aviha. That it says v'nasan lavi hanara implies that she starts to be a nara, but it doesn't say v'nasan lavi hanara b'sula shelo rasa. Obviously, it doesn't say b'sula because she's not a b'sula anymore, and it doesn't say shelo rasa because it doesn't say shelo rasa. Therefore, the fact that she had irisin after the rape doesn't in any way preclude there being a knas. And if she's only had irisin, the knas would go to normally you'd expect her father, as all shalach nurumdu. So the Gemara says. So they say, Erisin mikamapki rishishav lagamri. Does Erisin take her out of the father's rishus completely? That you say now that the knas would go, I don't know, laatzma? No. Rather, hotanan, it's not. Nara marasa avia bala mefirin la dara. The Gemara is a little bit odd. What is the Gemara trying to prove? That Erisin is not Motzi Mirshasav. So what does it do? It quotes an example of Isser V'Heter, where it is Motzi B'Mikzas, but not Motzi Chula. What's odd is that the Gemara didn't pick. There are 100 dinim it could have chosen that an Arusa is still Mirshasaviha. What? Well, is it the only one that's explicit?
That's what we said.
Yeah.
Here,
yeah. I'm trying to think of other examples that might be explicit. Thomas Cohen will be an example, but it's not explicit. Kiyam L'Shei Rao. No, it's the only Mekarev to an Asua, not to an Arusa. The Din's Minat Torah, probably, if you don't want the Ramam, but it's not explicit in the Torah. So that could be why. I say that it's troubling because the Gemara picked not a very good example in that. In that it's only mechza al mechza. It's half in his rishos, half out his rishos. All other dinim mamanos that a father has zechulius in his daughter, all other dinim doesn't change after erusin. Doesn't change after erusin. Okay. And fine. I'll leave that. I'll leave that for the moment. Okay. So our job going forward tomorrow, we're going to stop here. I don't want to. Our job, let's do one thing. Let's read the Mishnah at the beginning of the fourth parak. That wouldn't be a bad idea. I know some of you may not have done this yet, but Zach, can I impose upon you to read because you at least have done this once upon a time?
Yeah.
Okay. So Narish Spatza. All the payment goes to her father, and if it was a Tusa, which is ones, right? Usfasa v'shachavi. Mazrashi points out another example. Alex, by the way, the pasuk is usfasa with a sin, and tfusa in the Mishnah is spelled with samach. So tsar by anusa. So all the stuff goes to the father. That's a funny expression, by the way. Amda b'dinat shalom esahav arein shalav. In other words, well, I don't say that. In other words, you say harein shalav implies that the father's dead now. But it's not really his; it's his yorshim. I mean, that's what the Mishnah means, because you're implying amda b'dinat shalom esahav, but has died since. So harein shalav, well, they're not his after he dies. They're his yorshim. That's all it means. That's all it means, but it's a funny way of saying it. It should have said, Am the Badin, Harein Shalav, Meisav Harein Shalachin.
No, whose brother?
What?
Really,
hold on, I can't hear. Trey called it on Meshtamai, Zach?
I thought you just read that line.
Am the Badin at Shalom Meisav Harein Shalav, Meisav Harein Shalachin. No, it should have said Amda Badin Harein Shalav Meishav Harein Shalachin. It should have said Amda Badin, right, Harein Shalav. Amda Badin Hu Meishav Harein Shalachin. Instead it says Amda Badin at Shalom Meishav. We already know what's going to happen. Right? That's what's odd. Harein Shalav, no. Because the whole point is he dies before the Gemara Din. Right? That's what's odd about it. It never, in this scenario, it's been depicted by the Mishnah, it never actually goes to the father. It only goes to his yorshim. So, Amda ben Shalom Esav Harein Shalav. Yeah, because if he died already, before, even if it didn't wear that halacha goes to him, he's not there to get it. It would be shalachin. It's just, I understand what the Mishnah means. It's an odd way of formulating it. That's all. It's a little bit not quite like he, Paul Hanofel Mimena. Right? Go ahead. Right? She gets them. Next. So 1 second. Amda b'din ad shelo bagra harein shalav. Meisav harein shalachin. So there it makes sense, by the way. But in the first one, amda b'din ad shelo meisav. Right here, it's amda b'din ad shelo bagra. That's why they do it. They do it to keep it as parallel language. Okay, continue. So Rav Shimon says it depends upon Gavia. Now on the surface, this almost looks like, although I don't want to say this, that there's a machlokes when Yosoch and Knas. B'shas Amida B'din, Hamada B'din, or B'shas, you know, B'shas Gemaritan. Okay. In fact, I wouldn't say further. Rav Shimon says it's Gemaritan. It's a question of when Gavia comes. When Gavia comes. Okay. Now the Mishnah finally states, okay, so this last part of the Mishnah presents a conundrum. Not our issue, we're not going to deal with this, but you realize what's the difficulty in the last part of the Mishnah. Masa yadeha means her wages, and mitziyas and objects he finds. So even though she didn't collect before the father died, they still go to the Yorshim. I mean, they're mamon of the father, even though according to Rabbi Shimon, normally you have to collect first. Here it's not the case. What's odd about this? Mitziyasa. How are you go for a mitziyah? A maseh adam, I understand. The girl works. And then the father dies. So you say, now she goes and asks for her wages, and the guy gives to her. To whom does that belong? I mean, did it go to the father in the first place, and his sons inherit? Or did it? Was it, in fact, not his, and now she's tovas it, and she gets to keep it? So the answer is that as soon as she does the Maaseh Yadayim, he's zocha in that because it's owed to him. But the Mitziah, what shaykh do we go with the Mitziah? If she picks up the Mitziah, he's kona them, but there's no Gviyah involved. He has it. She has it already. If the father has died, and then she finds the mitzvah, of course it goes to her, not to the brothers. Alex?
Isn't there such a thing as finding mitzvah and claiming it for you? So, I found it, but you got to actually collect
Say that again.
I was coming to the mitzvah for you, but my it's in my property. It's in my house right
now. No, but what Shaiach Gov saw? Why would she have been Gova to the mitzvah?
Somebody was coming for her on her behalf.
She was
Bahara.
Meaning, I get it's a forced.
Okay, the Gemara will say. The Gemara will make some type of a heckish out of it at the end. Okay, fine. Are there any other questions? If there are no other questions, then tomorrow you should do the Gemara.
Not the
Tosfot? No, you need to do this Gemara first. Starting Amen Beis Amen Aleph after the Mishnah. Until the top of Mem Gimel Mar Aleph, about five lines down. Sixth line. Midi de Chimoda Bei Miftar. Up until the Kasha, Ba'amineh.